different thought and different thing, but related to the same thing. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Amen. I'm thankful that he brings us through things. Amen. And I'm thankful. We was talking in Sunday school class this morning about going through trials and troubles and the things that we face. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, you know, everything that's happened already today is no mystery to you. You already knew that it was going to happen. You already knew why it happened. And help us, God, today just to take all that happens and, Lord, and somehow use it to your glory. Brother Randy is trusting and dependent upon you. His faith is wholly set in you. And God, we just pray that you just encourage and strengthen him. Be with Brother Jack and Sister Eileen. And be with our church, Father. Be with our church. We need your strength. We need your help. We need what you can give us. And Lord, we depend on you in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. In Sunday school class, in our adult class, we're studying in the book of James. And in the book of 1 Peter. Amen. And Peter is dealing with, in 1 Peter, the trials that the church is going through and how to come through them and how to strengthen yourself and the might of God's word. And our lesson this morning was in verse number 10. And normally, we're lucky if we get past one or two verses on a Sunday morning. But this morning, we was right there in verse number 10. And just look at what it says. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Did you get what he said that was going to happen there? He said, we're going to go through some sufferings. We're going to go through some things that we don't want to go through. We're going to go through some trials in life that we wished we never had to face. And Brother Randy's there now. We was having lunch with him yesterday, and he told me, he said, "I want you to preach my funeral." I said, "Well, that might not be possible. I'm older than you are." Amen. He said, "Yeah, but I want you to preach my funeral." And I said, "Well, you know, we can make arrangements if that's what you really want." Amen. And he said, "Well, we don't need to rush things." Amen. But his faith is settled on Jesus. Amen. And he's happy in Jesus, and he knows that Jesus has his hand. And I don't know anybody in a long time that I've run across that suffers as much as Brother Randy does in the flesh. Amen. He stays in pain most of the time. He's heavily medicated to deal with the pain a lot of the time. But yet he keeps trusting Jesus. Amen. And you know that's unlike a whole lot of people today. The first time you go through a little bit of adversity, amen, you want to blame God for everything that's happened and turn your back on Jesus and run. In the book of Job, chapter number 23, if you turn there with us this morning. And I believe this is where God would have us to be. I really struggled yesterday. I've really struggled this week on where God wanted me to preach. And he just, sometimes he's just silent. On Wednesday night, I had this message with me. I wasn't sure. I always like to be ready in case Brother L, something happens, he don't make it or something. And almost come out to the young people and use this for the young people. But God just didn't give me liberty. And I think Brother Adam and Sister Mary might be tired of me coming out there and stealing their time with the young people. So I said, I'm just going to stay in here tonight and mind my P's and Q's. And God just never settled my heart. And last night, as I was saying, God, where do you want me to go? He kept bringing this back up. And I said, well, it's really not a message, Lord. It's just a devotional I had for the whoever we might need it for. And he just kept bringing it back up. And I studied another scripture that was laid on my heart. And I just didn't really, even this morning coming, I just really wasn't at peace. When Brother Randy went through this episode this morning, God says, I've got the message for you, and you got it there. Amen. I just had stuck it in my Bible the other night, and I had to find out where I stuck it. Amen. But praise God, this is what I believe the Lord would have for us to understand and to know today. In Job chapter number 23, I want to begin reading in verse, I'm going to go back to verse 9. number 8. It says, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and he hath tried me, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his ways have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. And praise God, I'm glad tonight that God already has a plan. The psalmist, or Job said right here, he said, when I go back, he's not there. He said, I move forward. He said, he's there, but I just don't know it. He's there, but I can't perceive him. Have you ever been there in your life? Amen. You wondered, where is God in the midst of all this? Where is God in the midst of what I'm going through? Everywhere I try to find him, I can't find him. Where's God? Let me tell you what. He's right where he's always been. He's right where he needs to be. He's right in the center of everything that's going on in this universe. And there's not anything that we go through that he's not already aware of. Amen. I'm glad we got a God that's faithful like that. Amen. He never leaves us. Over in James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. I should have just stayed over there when I was at Peter. Amen. James chapter number 1. Verses 2 and 3. The Lord says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Trying, troubles, problems, suffering, worketh patience. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I want to just give you this thought this morning. Learning to trust God through the trials of life. Marie was in the hospital last Sunday. Got out Thursday. Kept telling me she was getting out. She's going to get out today. She's going to get out today. And that's why I get up to see her. And then she got out Thursday. Amen. Went through a trial. Went through problems. Went through issues. Job is going through a trial. He's going through a storm like none of us will probably ever have to go through. He lost everything that he had except for his wife. And she wasn't a whole lot of help to him in the midst of all his trial. She told him, said, why don't you just curse God and die? Job said, no. He said, God's been better to me than that. He said, do I only get to worship him? Do I only praise him? Do I only acknowledge him when I'm being blessed and when the good things are happening in my life? And then when some trouble comes, I deny him and I run from him and I curse him just so I can die? He said, no. And we need to learn to trust God through our trials. We need to learn to trust God through the adversity that we face in this life and in this world. Have you ever stopped to think about this? And this is the thought that I had the other night. And I guess God knew that we would need this thought this morning. I thank God that he's always on time. Amen. I thank God that he's always got the message when we need it. And here's a church gathered that believes that God can do all things. And one of our members has been hauled out the door on a stretcher and going to the hospital in an ambulance and can't find the healing that he's wanting and he's desiring and that he's needing. I bet God is still faithful, friends. Amen. Amen. Yes. Think about this for a moment. Let me just give you a few thoughts to ponder. If you never knew pain, how many's ever known pain? You've known physical pain. You've known emotional pain. Amen. Some are even tormented by pain mentally in their minds. But if you've never known pain, how would you know that God is a great healer? I've been through pain. And I've cried out to Him in the midst of my pain. Let me tell you what. I have felt some horrific pain. And nothing would take the pain away but Jesus. Amen. I've been scarred and hurt emotionally. But I found out that He's a healer.
Yes.
Amen. I've lost loved ones that have hurt my heart terribly and have torn my heart to pieces. But I found out that He's a mender of broken hearts. He's a healer. Job said, I go back, I can't find Him. I go forward, I can't find Him. On the left hand and the right hand, I can't find Him. He said, but He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Why does He let us go through pain? Why does He let us hurt like that? Because it strengthens us. And it helps us to realize and to know that He is the healer. He is the one that touches our lives and makes the difference that we need in our lives. If you've never been through a trial and have never been in a valley and have never come out the other side, how can you know that you can become and you can be an overcomer? Every trial that we go through, every valley that we walk through, every dark time that we pass through helps us to know that we can get through it another time. This isn't the first rodeo I've been to. Amen. And let me tell you, I've been bucked off a few times. Amen. I've been hurt. I've been discouraged. I've been let down. But praise God, I know that I can get up and I can get back on and I can ride for the next ride until I reach the victory side.
Amen.
Amen. Too many Christians get bucked off, so to speak. They get knocked down and they just stay down. They don't get back up. We don't get up in our own strength. We don't get up in our own abilities. But we get up in the strength that He gives us. And the strength that He imparts unto us. When I come forth and I get through these trials and troubles, I'll come forth as gold. Amen. Because when I make it to the other side, amen, I will know what it is to be an ultimate overcomer. Amen. You know, most people who have started in business, most people who have become great for the things that they have invented, have a whole lot of failures behind them. Amen. Have a whole lot of trials that they've went through. They had a whole lot of disappointments that they had to face to get to where they are. But when they got to where they were, they found out that they were overcomers because they didn't stop on the 925th failure. Amen. They kept pressing forward because every failure taught them something. Every trial taught them something. Have you learned as you've walked through the valleys? Have you learned as you've faced the trials that you've learned something every time that you went? I have. Amen. I have. Stop and think about this. If you never felt sadness, how would you know that He is truly the God of all comfort? You know, stood at a funeral yesterday, was asked to speak a few words of comfort. Had a 2-minute limit. (Laughter) Sister Eileen said I said more in 2 minutes than the other 2.5 hours all put together. I don't know. I don't know. But the only thing I can do to comfort anybody is to share them God's word. The only thing I can say that's going to help you find peace in the midst of your sadness is to let you know what Jesus can do. And to let you know that he is the comforter. And Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted. How do I know that he's a comforter? And how can I tell somebody else that he's a comforter? How can I tell somebody else that in the midst of your sadness and in the midst of your sorrow, it's going to be all right because I've been there and he is a comforter.
Amen.
Amen. We had losses in our family. My wife's cousin had a child that came to full term. And she went to her last appointment. She was due in about a week. And she went to her last appointment before her due date and had had other children, had carried them with no problem at all. And they sent her directly from the OBGYN over to the hospital. And she had to give birth. They induced labor, and she had to give birth to a child that was already dead. For the baby had dropped into the birth canal with the umbilical cord wrapped around its neck. And had choked it probably within a few hours of the time she went to the doctor, they estimate. And her heart was torn to pieces. And Brother Raymond's daughter, Linda, had been through a similar situation. And Linda came to Barbara and she told her, said, I know this don't make sense. And I know that you're hurting. But let me tell you why. She said, this I know because I've been there. God can heal that hurt. God can heal that hurt. I know, she said, because I've been there. I know because I've experienced it. I know it don't seem right now, but soon you're going to realize God knew what was best. God done what was best. And you can't comprehend that. You can't grasp that. But God don't make mistakes.
Amen.
Trust the Lord. And Barbara said it was hard to hear those words. But I knew the one that they came from. She said it was hard to go through that. And to hear that. But when it come our time, she looked at my kids and said, it's hard. It hurts. But God will bring you through it. God will strengthen your heart. We've lost loved ones. Some of you here just recently. But I'm here to tell you, God don't make mistakes. Amen. And God can comfort your heart. We feel empty. We feel violated. We feel alone. But God can move into that place and bring a perfect peace to your heart and your life like you've never known. And be completely satisfied that God knew what was best. And when it was best, and how it was best. You know why? I can tell you that. I've been there. And I know he don't make mistakes. And I know he fills the void.
I told Sister Sandy yesterday, the devil will come by and will tell you that, look, God don't care nothing about you. He done left you to be a widow. Sister Joanne, he done left you to be a widow. If you listen to the devil. But I reminded Sister Sandy over there in the book of Isaiah, God said, don't worry about it. He said, I will be your husband. I will come in and I will help you. I will come in and I will encourage you. I will come in and I will strengthen you. I will come in and I will fill that void. Amen. I can't explain it. I don't understand it and I don't know how, but praise God, I know that he does. Amen. If you've never been through sadness, how can you know that he's a comforter? If you never made a mistake, how would you know that he's a forgiver? And I'm so glad he's a forgiver. Because there isn't anybody that makes more mistakes in this world than I do. Man, if the altar was 10 miles long, it wouldn't be long enough to lay your tongue on sometimes because you said something that you wished you could have took back. And people might not forgive you, but God does. Amen. If the sea of forgetfulness could hold all the things that need to be forgotten that I've done, I'm glad that he uses it because people don't. He's a forgiver. And he knows our frame, the psalmist says, and he knows that we're but dust. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows we're going to mess up. But praise God, we can know that he'll forgive us of our sins. Amen. If you're never broke, and I tell you folks, we need to get broke. Amen. The problem with most of us, we never got broke enough to get fixed. Amen. If you never get broke, how do you know that he can make you whole? We got too much pride sometimes in our lives to get broken. Let me tell you what. We got a generation right now that is so screwed up and so messed up that they don't know which way. They don't know which way to go. They've been listening to the politicians. They've been listening to the educators. They've been listening to television and Hollywood tell them everything that they need and everything that they deserve. But nobody's ever told them that they need to get broken. Man, let me tell you what. I got some of them at work. I got a bunch of them at work. And they'll make you want to beat your head plumb against the wall. And I got one of them that come and told me, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, my generation is plumb screwed up. I said, that's putting it real mildly, Patrick. That's putting it real mildly. I mean, they're messed up. They're messed up because all they've ever been told is how great they are. Amen? All they've ever been told is you don't deserve punishment. You don't deserve anything. All they've been told is everybody deserves a trophy. There are no winners and losers. Let me tell you something. The Bible's full of losers.
Yes, right.
Amen. And most of them find themselves in a place called hell. You see, the problem is they haven't been told that they need to get broke. They haven't been told that they're inherently sinful. They're inherently flawed. You know why I had to get born again? Because I wasn't right the first time.
Amen.
Amen. I had to get broke so I could get whole. I had to get broke so I could get made over again. I had to get broke so I could get into the potter's hand and he can mold me and make me into what I need to be. How do you know that he can fix you if you don't get broke? Amen. Man, I've been at the bottom. I know what it's like to have nothing. We got married. I had the clothes on my back. Her mama was a widow. My mama was a widow. My mom's working in a sewing factory. At that time, just scratching to make ends meet. She said, son, you getting married, don't come looking to me for help, because I ain't got it. I just told her straight up. And I know her mom didn't have it. I mean, they were just struggling, the both of them, to make ends meet. I started with nothing. The fella said, I still got most of it, but hey, man, I know what it's like to have nothing. I know what it's like to be nothing. I know what it's like to start at the bottom. I know what it's like to be broke. But praise God, I'm glad he can fix broke.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad he can mend a broken heart. Amen. I'm glad he can mend a broken relationship. I'm glad he can still fix broken marriages. Amen. I'm glad he can still fix broken relationships in our churches. You know, the problem is most people say, kiss my butt and run on up the road and start another church. That's good theology. I don't care if you don't like the analogy. You know where I heard that from? A sinner man. Brother Andy Parrott worked for an old guy named King. He used to work up at Rogers Hardware up behind where Pat's is. And man, he just got saved, hadn't been saved too long. God was just dealing with him. He was on fire for the Lord. He went and invited old King, said, why don't you come to church, King? Why don't you come to church? He said, why do I want to go down there? He said, man, he said, the Lord can do all kinds of things. He said, yeah, I know about your Lord. He said, we got Kiss My Backside, and he didn't say backside, churches all over this county. He said, because every time one of you get mad at one another, you say, kiss my backside and run down. And you know what? He's absolutely, positively, completely right. You know why he can't fix broken relationships in our churches? Because our Christians don't take his word and take him at his word. Our Bible says if you got a problem with someone, to go to them. Our Bible says if that don't satisfy things, take somebody else and go back and visit with them. And then the Bible says if that don't work, we come before the church with it. And let me tell you something. You know how I know it works? Because when people come to me and start having problems and they start complaining to me, that's exactly the practice that we take. That's exactly the practice that we use. And you know what? I've seen people who were just plumb mad at one another leave out of a room downstairs when there was a bunch of us and all had to meet together and all had to agree that God's word is right and God's plan's right and God's way's right and left and things were made whole.
Amen.
Amen. That's the answer for everything. It ain't about what I think, feel, or some book has told me somewhere. I don't look to other books. I believe in the book.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? I believe we have so few problems here because we adhere to the book.
Amen.
Amen. And he can take what's broken and he can make it whole. If you never were chastised, how many know what it means to be chastised? It means when God deals with you about sin, about something you've done wrong in your life. If you have never been chastised, how would you know that he loves you like a child? The Bible says, whom he loveth, he chastiseth. In Hebrews, it says, if you haven't been chastised, you're not a son, but a bastard. You're an imitation. You're a wannabe. Amen. God begins to dealing with us instead of dealing with God when he deals with us. Amen. We try to run from him. We try to blame it on everybody else. Or we get caught with our hand in the cookie jar and it was my brother. It was my sister. And that's the way we are in our spiritual lives sometimes. And we need just to face up to the fact that the reason God is bringing conviction in my heart, the reason God is bringing conviction in my life, the reason God is chastising me is because of me.
Right.
Woo! And thank him for loving you enough to chastise you, enough to convict you, enough to bring you to the place of knowing that he really loves you. If you never went through the fire, whew, how many has gone through the fire in your spiritual lives? How many has faced the trials, faced the problems that you've went through the fire, and you come out the other side, and you knew there were some things after you got through the fire that got left behind? Amen? There were some things that you had to get shed of. Amen? So some things that we had to deal with, some things that were hard with us to contend with. I tell you what, we got a lot of social issues facing us in our lives, and sometimes we got to go through the fire to get shed of some of them. Sometimes we lose members. Sometimes we lose, you say, what are you talking about? I'll give you one real example. And I may be wrong, but I don't think that I am. And God has never changed my heart. We had a family that was coming and had their relatives are coming. They occupied that pew right there where Brother Ron and his family are sitting. And y'all might want to move over. Hey, man. And man, all they could do is tell me about how great I preached and how good the service was. I mean, they were just constantly, I mean, we just never heard preaching like, man, you're just so good. It was just so awesome. And blah, 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 blah. On. And our insurance company mandated and told us that we had to show a video they had to our congregation. And it was something that they required of us to do to maintain our coverage with them. On child abuse, child molestation, and all these issues. I don't know how many of you remember when we had to do that. On Sunday night, we watched this CD, this video that they had on how the church needs to take steps to protect ourselves, make sure we have two teachers and background checks. And that's when Sister Joanne got her first job, her first big major job, amen, doing the background checks and all this stuff and everything in our church. After we showed that video, the family disappeared. Went to visit them. Don't want to talk to you. Call them. Don't want to talk to you. I went through being the greatest thing since sliced bread to obviously being the devil incarnate or something. I don't know. But you know what? Sometimes we got to go through the fire. Sometimes we got to stand up for what's right. Sometimes we got to speak what's right and do what's right. And we might lose a few members. We might shed a few things on the way. Amen. But when we come out the other side, amen. Job said, when he tries me, I'll come forth like gold. It isn't always popular. It isn't always easy to lose friends. It's not always easy to lose family members that don't want to be around you. But when you go through the fire and God purifies, you'll come forth like gold. If you never had to pray, and you never took time to pray, and that wasn't the only way that you could get a hold of God was through prayer, how would you know that he would answer your prayers? Why do you pray? You just go through it because it's a ritual that you go through? I don't know about you, but I pray because I pray to a God that answers prayers.
Amen.
Amen. I pray to a God that I've seen him answer his prayers for me just like that. On the instant and in a moment, I've seen him answer a prayer just like that. But I pray to a God that sometimes it tells me no. And he loves me enough to say no. And he loves me enough to tell me what's right. But I pray because I know that he answers prayers. If you had all the power to do whatever you wanted to do, how would you learn to depend on him? Job had, I guess he was the Bill Gates. I guess he's still the richest guy in the world, isn't he? He slipped once, but he made it back. But He was probably the Bill Gates of his day. He was the richest man of all the men of the East. Had more wealth probably than anybody of his time. And when he lost it all, he didn't blame God. He still praised God. And when people come and told him to curse God, when he was inspired to reject God, and the devil tried to induce him to curse him, God, Job just said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." So Job realized he didn't have all that he had, and he wasn't who he was because of him, but because of God. And he depended on God, and he was willing to trust God in the good times as well as in the bad times. And he knew that he was going through a trial and said, "When I get through this trial, I'll come forth as gold. Y'all can say what you want to, but when I get to the other side, God's going to bear it all out." If you were perfect, you wouldn't need him. And the reason we need him is because we are so imperfect. And if you never suffered, you wouldn't have no idea of exactly what he went through that he might purchase for you and I eternal salvation. Job says, I don't always sense him. I don't always know where he's at. He said, but he always knows where I'm at. I'm not always aware of him, but he's always aware of me. I'm not always what I need to be and who I need to be, but he always is. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Let's stand our feet, heads back.